On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, it's Supercharged. I talk about my trip to experience Fast and Furious Supercharged at Universal Orlando Resort.
In Avengers, Infinity War, our predictions, who's going to die, who's going to survive, all this and more, Thrill Geek Podcast, now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. We're coming off a pretty awesome episode last week with Russell, and having our first guest on was an interesting learning experience, I guess I could say.
Yes.
we learned some stuff about having guests on the podcast, and it was a new experience for us, but we had fun. So if you haven't gotten back to listening to that episode yet, excuse me, make sure you go back there and listen to it, because we dived in some really cool stuff with VR and theme parks and all that good stuff. Enough of that. On to today's episode. I got to go out to Universal for the first soft opening, technical rehearsal, whatever you want to call it, for Fast and Furious Supercharged. So I will go over that. And we have a bunch of pop culture stuff to go over: Jurassic World trailer, Deadpool trailer, and then we're going to spend the last portion of the podcast laying out, me and Barry, we're going to lay out our predictions, spoilers for Infinity War. So it should be a fun episode.
Yes.
starting off,
I got to go Universal.
I did. I got to do something before you for once. I got to go out on Saturday to Universal Studios Florida, because earlier in the week, the walls came down around Fast and Furious Supercharged after employee previews. So that means only one thing: the hashtag fast. What was it? What was everybody calling it? Was it Fast Watch?
I came up with Fast Watch, but I think everyone, was it Furious or I can't remember which one.
We should have just said FF Watch.
Yeah, because I mean it's funny because you texted me and you're like, are you free to go to Universal today? And I was like, nope.
So I made the journey over to Universal and kind of hung out with everybody. Everybody was there. Taylor, Orlando Informer. We literally had like our corner of the bloggers. And the waiting game began for them to do a soft opening. And surprisingly, we didn't wait too long. I thought it was literally going to be the last minute, because if I remember correctly, with rides before, the first day of soft openings, like it was literally like the last hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of park opening. But yeah, I don't remember.
They've been doing what, team member previews for like the three previous days. And I believe what Thursday and Friday, even though I think they had some technical issues, but they were like scheduled to run them like all, you know, the entire time the park was open, they were running team member previews. And we know the ride's been cycling for a while now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you said, unlike Kong, which Kong seemed to have had some technical issues when they were doing their soft opening. This one,
yeah,
you know, obviously they're still having, you know, it still breaks down occasionally, but it looks like this one's running pretty consistently right now.
Yeah, they didn't have any, at least when I was there, I didn't see any major issues as far as the ride operation goes. But back to the events of the day. Long story short, the ride finally opened. A few managers came out. Everybody rushed the gates because they saw three or four important looking managers walking up to the front of the attraction. So everybody flooded the gates, and sure enough, it opened. And so that was the first technical rehearsal, was Saturday afternoon.
So how was the queue for this ride? Because you know, Universal seems to be has stepped up their game queue wise ever since really Harry Potter. So
yeah, it's, you know, it's again, it's the same. I mean, the ride is the same as Kong, but the queue was really impressive, just like Kong. You can tell that, I mean, given it's a garage, it's cars, it's fairly easy to do, but it was well done. I really enjoyed the queue because it actually felt like, the music they had playing, just the atmosphere, like you felt like you were in a Fast and Furious movie, even though it was just a garage.
Yeah. And it seems like, especially if people who are fans of the movie, there's like tons of Easter eggs in that queue.
Oh, there is. There's all sorts of Easter eggs with all the characters' names on like crates and stuff. There's even a couple nods to Brian, aka Paul Walker, that passed away. There's a couple nods to him in the queue line. And there's even some nods to, the former attractions that were there. Like, I think there's like a Beetlejuice doll. I didn't see him personally because, I was filming for the YouTube channel, getting the blogger stuff. So I was trying to take in the queue line and film at the same time, but there's all sorts of Easter eggs within the queue. And then once you zigzag through the queue and the picnic table scene, which is, pretty awesome that they did that, because for some reason that's become one of like the most iconic scenes in the Fast and Furious franchise, is when they're all gathered around barbecuing. And, it's so interesting how that's become like one of the most iconic scenes of the film. And people literally walk in and they see that picnic table right at the front of the queue line. And they're like, oh, they did the picnic table scene. After you zigzag through the queue, there's two pre-shows that you have to watch that kind of get you set up for the story, which, yes, believe it or not, the ride, it does have a story. It's kind of confusing, but there is a basic storyline with the attraction. Long story short, you're being loaded onto a party bus as the party you're being sent to is a diversion. I don't know. I mean, you've ridden the Hollywood. Is there, there's not really, I mean, you're literally in the Hollywood. You're just on the tram in the tunnel.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you're like a guest, their guest or something. And so they put you on the party bus and, then the FBI shows up and then what's his face? The villain shows up and then what? Then you're off on your chase.
Yeah.
And that about sums it up.
Yeah. But there's two pre-shows that you watch, in two separate rooms. You kind of get briefed on the mission of there is a quote plot there. And it's basically you're being sent on this party bus to go to a party as a diversion for this whole thing. So anyways, so after that, you go through a little bit more queue line. And then it's finally time you get on the party bus, which again, it's identical to the Kong vehicle. It's got drivers, bright, like color changing lights on the inside of it. And it was really interesting because I saw them before I sat down, but there's handlebars on the, down by your butt. Mm. It's like rope for you to hold on to. And I don't think they have those on Kong, but it's like literally like round straps for you to put your arms through. And I was like, what the hell are these for? I was like, they didn't have these on Kong.
Yeah.
But from what I was hearing, there is a height difference between Kong and Fast and Furious. And apparently Fast and Furious is a little more jarring and a little more intense than Kong. Hmm. So I'm guessing that's why they have them there. But it's just like these round straps on the down on the where you sit. And I was really puzzled by those. I was like, what are these for? But I guess they're like, like the handlebars in your car, like, what handles.
Oh, yeah.
Just to hold on to. But anyways, after that, the loading process was pretty quick. I flashed back to the first sneak or the first soft opening for Kong, where they had all sorts of issues with closing the door on the trams and everything.
Yeah.
This one, they really didn't have that. It was, they seemed to have gotten the loading process down. But after that, you leave and you turn, and the first scene, you're in like this dark hallway, and it's really dark, and it's like you're simulating. It's simulating that you're going really fast, like you're driving to this party. Yeah. It was done really well. You know, there's like lights flashing by you, like you're moving really fast, but you're really not moving at all.
Which is almost like a little nod to Earthquake / Disaster.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, in Disaster, Earthquake, when you're leaving and you are traveling, you have the lights flying by you and everything. It's very similar to that. But it was done very well. And then the second scene, which was actually, I really enjoyed this scene. It's a huge, giant physical set of like a back alleyway. With all the, there's like a straight ahead of you, there's four or five Fast and Furious cars, and there's one over on the right hand side that comes out at you, and it shoots like nitrous out. And, it gave me like, I said it on Twitter. It gave me like Great Movie Ride vibes.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I really liked it. I was like, oh, I was like, if the if there's more scenes like this in the ride, I will love it. But after that, the ride kind of went downhill, because you come the next scene is the Pepper's Ghost scene with The Rock, and basically it sets you up for the 360 scene.
Yeah.
The FBI raids the party, and then you got to get out of there. So this is when your massive party bus becomes a speed machine.
Yeah.
And you're basically sent into the 360 theater next, where it starts off like in like a parking garage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's what you did out in Universal Studios Hollywood, from what I've heard. I haven't done it, but it's identical.
Except the big difference is there's no 3D.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was really surprised about, and I actually really enjoyed it, was not having 3D. At first, I really wasn't thinking about it, but about probably halfway through the finale, the 360 part, I was like, oh yeah, I'm not wearing glasses. So I tried to experience it and kind of remember how it is with Kong and everything, and it was actually kind of nice not having the 3D glasses, and it's really not needed. I think it works on Kong, but there's so much going on in this Fast and Furious scene. Like, cars are flying everywhere. There's drones, there's explosions, there's all this craziness, insanity going on. I think the 3D really just would have made it almost nauseating.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see why they steered away from the 3D with the Fast and Furious, because it's really not needed, because there's so much going on. I think it would have been a nightmare trying to figure out the 3D with it and everything. But then just like that, it ends. There's no send off at the end of the attraction. That was one thing that really bothered me about it, was there's no send off at the end. You know, the ride just like stops.
Yeah.
Almost like somebody hit the e-stop button.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, okay. Cause you know, like at the end of like Gringotts, you know, you got in Gringotts and both the Harry Potter ride, you know, when the ride's over, you got everybody cheering for you and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of got that finale scene wrapping everything up. There's none of that with Fast and the Furious. I mean, Kong, you have this massive King Kong animatronic staring you down.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious, there's nothing. Uh-huh. Like, there was, I think there was a little bit of audio from Vin Diesel, saying something about the word family gets mentioned about 600 times in this ride. And I think it happens about 40 times at the end.
Yeah.
So, and that's basically it. You know, is the ride fun? Yes, it's a fun ride. I had a discussion. I forgot who it was with on Twitter. I would actually ride this over Transformers.
Wow.
I would say that. It's a fun ride. You know, this ride tears me in so many different directions. Like, is the best ride? Is it the best ride Universal's ever done? No. Is it fun? Yes. So, you know, it's when I finally got off and I kind of digested it and I was like, you know what? I was like, it was actually better than I thought it was going to be, but it's not the best ride they've ever done, which I don't think anybody was anticipating it to be when the rumors started flying of it being the same ride technology as Kong. And that's the other thing. My biggest issue is it's a fun ride, but I think Fast and the Furious deserves a much better attraction than this. That's always been my hard stance ever since I heard the rumors that it was going to be based on the same technology as Kong. I was like, how can they do a Fast and the Furious ride with these giant RV bus vehicles? And then they come up with this whole party bus thing. I just think Fast and the Furious deserves a much better, more planned out attraction, because you could tell this attraction was, I don't know if rushed was the good word. Is a good word.
Yeah.
But you can tell that Universal just wants to get these rides built. So I'm hoping this is the end of these big giant RV attractions and we can move on to something a little more, you know, I always complain that Disney takes two, three years to build a ride, but you know, there's a reason.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is the last of repurposing. I mean, both rides were repurposing of something from the tram attraction,
yeah,
at Universal Hollywood, and I think these two rides are the last of that. And it's also like we've talked about before. You know, it's well known that they did those surveys after both of these rides were approved, and Fallon, that
yeah.
People were getting tired of the screens and the 3D, and
yeah.
We know that you know, the new Harry Potter attraction that's coming. What we've heard is there's going to be big sets and animatronics, and I'm sure there'll still be some screens in there, but it won't be the primary element of the attraction.
Yeah.
You know, the much rumored Secret Life of Pets ride, whether here or Hollywood, has been rumored to be, you know, completely full of animatronics, and that even the Nintendo rides were going to be like real rides. They weren't going to be screen based. So,
yeah. It's like I said, it's a fun ride. I give it that. The demographic, the main demographic behind this ride, families, kids, they're going to love this ride.
In the end. Fast and Furious is popular, more popular internationally than it is.
Yeah. Then that's the other thing is the international crowd. They're going to eat this ride up. Kids are going to eat this ride up. Families. There's no doubt in my mind this ride's going to be a huge hit with, you know, the general masses, so to speak.
And since it uses two RVs instead of the one that Kong uses, it's going to be a massive people eater.
Yeah, that was really cool watching when you pull into the 360 cinema area of the attraction.
Yeah.
Or no, I take that back. The pre-show, the area before that where the FBI raids the party and everything.
Yeah.
When you arrive at the party, they actually drop a curtain between the two RVs. So it's like two scenes playing out.
Yeah.
The same scene, but you can't see the other RV. And then when it's time that when it goes into the 360 cinema, the curtain lifts up and you both pull into the 360 theater at the same time. But yeah, I really like that scene with the physical. It's like you're in a back alleyway. You got the Fast and the Furious cars all set up really cool looking. Brian's orange Supra, Toyota Supra is one of them. And then the cars come at you from the side. shooting nitrous up. And, you know, that was the other thing that reminded me, the CO2 blasts on this thing are ridiculous. I think you saw me mentioning it on Twitter. Yeah. I mean, the CO2 blasts in your face
you got a little
are
wet too, didn't you?
You get ridiculously wet on the ride. I mean, the water spraying and the CO2 blasts of air in your face. At one point, I was like, all right, enough is enough, because I'm trying to watch the movie. And all of a sudden, you get a blast of CO2 in your face again. And it's like, what is going on? It was cool at first, but then it just got repetitive. And I was like, okay, can we chill out on the CO2? But anyways, that's my my initial thoughts of Fast and Furious Supercharged. Fun ride. Go ahead.
I know. I was gonna. You can go and wrap up. I was gonna say something after you wrapped up.
No. I was just saying, you know, it's a fun ride. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. That's just me personally. Is it the best ride Universal's ever done? No. It's definitely down there at the bottom. but it's fun. It's a fun time just to ride it. Like when you're riding it, you find yourself laughing and smiling, and I'm a fan of the Fast and Furious movies, but there's a few of the movies that are so bad they're good, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that the ride kind of falls under that same demographic. It's so bad, it's good. and I think that's the best way I could sum it up. It's a fun ride. If you're out there, you know, trying to get on the technical rehearsals, get on it. Enjoy it. It's a fun ride. I enjoyed it. And like I said, I would, if this was 30 minutes and Transformers was 20, I'd probably wait the extra 20 minutes or 10 minutes for Fast and the Furious. I keep comparing it to Transformers because that ride just never did it for me.
Yeah.
It coming from Spider-Man, not to get off topic here, but coming from the Spider-Man ride, which is still my number one favorite ride at Universal Orlando.
Yeah.
Transformers just, it's too dark. Transformers just doesn't do a whole lot for me. Mm-hmm. So I would easily wait if there was a difference between the wait times, I would wait longer for Fast and Furious than Transformers. So if that says anything.
Yeah. And, like you said, it's going on technical rehearsal right now and it is scheduled to open the first week of May. So
did they announce an opening date?
I do know that the media event, I believe, is the night of May 2nd. So
yeah, May 2nd is the media event. So, yeah.
And then moving on, you know, this will post Monday and will be in Sunday, April 22nd is the 20th anniversary of Animal Kingdom, and it'll kick off their 2-week party for the planet. This is something new they're doing this year, where they're doing a 2-week-long celebration. This week, we got a little bit more information about it. It's up on the ThrillGeek.com website. You know, there's already been some 20th anniversary merchandise release. Well, this will be your I Was There-style merchandise, much like they did with Epcot last year for the 35th. So they've got all kinds of t-shirts, hats, even annual pass holder stuff, t-shirts. Of course, your usual, was it Dooney and Burke limited edition, incredibly overpriced handbags.
Yeah.
And there's even going to be a special Banshee available at Wind Traders.
How much do you think that's going to go for on eBay?
Yeah. There'll be a line there'll be a line of people as soon as you can get into Pandora for that. Number one, I imagine it's going to probably, I'd be shocked if it isn't $100, which I still can't believe how much they charge for those the regular Banshees to begin with. But there's a special Banshee, you know, as far as that actual stuff, you know, things, there's going to be all kinds of family stuff, friendly activities and and opportunities to interact with animal care experts at Rafiki's Planet Watch. There'll be a limited edition Wilderness Explorers badge if you do that. There's, of course, cupcakes. We can't have an anniversary without cupcakes. There's going to be a Earth Day and Tree of Life cupcake. There's even going to be a Veggie Impossible Burger.
I'm actually looking at that. I know you didn't get it up on the website, but I'm looking at that right now, the food offerings.
Yeah. And, you know, there's already the Tiffin's Talks, which are going to be themed dinners at Tiffin's hosted by, you know, animal and conservation experts. So all kinds of things. I'm sure there's some other stuff that's going to happen that.
Wow. The Wilderness Lodge cupcake sounds really yummy.
Yeah. So it's all kinds of different stuff coming to this new, we'll be interested to see if this turns into an annual thing for Animal Kingdom. This is the beginning of them creating a spring festival just for Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
And we will, look out Sunday, look out. Well, you will have already seen by the time this airs, we plan to be there for the kickoff for the Party for the Planet. So be sure to check out all our social media for that.
I'm still debating on going.
And, one last, I think, theme park thing we'll touch on real quick is the concept photos that were released for Universal Studios Japan's new nighttime parade, the Universal Spectacle Night Parade, Best of Hollywood. That's a
yeah,
typical. That's a interesting name. But you know, in some online, they have been rehearsing it, and some video did leak out online of the rehearsals. And based on the concept art alone, it looks pretty spectacular. But then some of the rehearsal video we've seen, this thing looks jaw dropping. I mean,
yeah, they have like a full size Hogwarts Express like engine in this thing.
Yeah, with one train car, there's like a giant Quidditch stadium float. On top of the, there's Transformers, there's a whole Jurassic World section, and of course, got to have the Minions. And then combine that on top of with projection mapping on the buildings theme that corresponds with what's going on in the parade. This is really I don't think anybody's seen a nighttime parade quite like this before.
We haven't seen a nighttime parade in Orlando in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's the big question now that everybody's sort of seen some of this leaked video is, when is this coming here?
Yeah. And, I was one of them.
I mean, to me, that would be like another nice little shot across the bow at Disney. It's like, oh, you guys can't find the money to have a nighttime parade until your 50th. Here, 2 years before, we've already got a new nighttime parade.
And they're working on a new nighttime show at Universal Studios.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would love for this to be something that comes in 2019. It would be another one of those things that maybe they would finally stay open a little bit later. You know, it's during the slower times of year. That's one of the things, like a lot of us locals still don't understand why the parks don't stay open minimum until 8 p.m. in the off season. Cause I mean, we go now. I mean, yeah, there are still slow times, no different. There are slow times at Disney. I mean, last night I was in Animal Kingdom and we walked on the safari and I literally have never walked through that queue and there was nobody in that queue.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely, it's been the first time in a while I've been to Animal Kingdom where it was pretty dead. But I mean, there's still those slow times, but I don't know how many times in the off season I've been to that park and it's closing at 7 o'clock and there are still thousands of people.
Oh yeah.
In those parks. They're practically kicking people out.
As big as Universal's, I mean, you know, the parade is going to be in Japan. Let's not, you know, get confused here. But in Orlando, as big as Universal Orlando's gotten within the past few years, you'd think they'd be able to stay open until stay open later more often.
Yeah, and they don't seem to ever do what Disney will do, which is when they realize things are more, there's more crowds around, they'll adjust park hours. And Universal rarely, if ever, does that. And so it's you know, this is obviously, can't wait to when it does finally debut. I'm assuming later this summer, and hopefully it'll be something that, you got to imagine with all this money they're investing in this, that maybe this is something that will also make its way over here.
Yeah, I would love to see it over here, because I'm not going to make it to Japan anytime soon. but yeah, I would love to see this over here, because all the concept artwork and video we've seen, it looks really impressive. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on in the Transformers concept artwork. It's just like a mess of Optimus and Bumblebee and
It's almost like it's like them in the middle of a battle.
But are they projections, or are they the float?
No, they're the actual, if you saw that thing, they're part of the actual float.
Yeah.
So, oops. But I think that's all the theme park stuff we're going to talk about for this episode, because we've got a lot of pop culture stuff, and somehow you did manage to talk about Fast and Furious Supercharged for 20 minutes.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I did that, but I did.
So, pop culture time. Obviously, we're going to get to the Avengers. We're going to save that for last. But the we had
two
final trailers came out this week, and first up will be Deadpool 2.
And that just came out today.
And that just came out today. We're taping on Thursday. And I mean, I was already sold on this movie, but this new trailer was even better than the last one. So
yeah, I watched it. I saw you post it on the website, and I didn't get a chance to watch it all day, so I literally watched it right before we recorded here. And I'm glad we got a better look at the kind of the characters we're going to see in the X-Force squad. And just, you know, typical Deadpool zaniness in the trailer.
Yeah, it gave us a little bit more of the plot, what the story is going to be about. And you know, like I said, it was cool to sort of, they did sort of the whole, like, you know, roll call of the X-Force, you know, basically like, seen from a job interview. And so it explained a little bit more, didn't give everything away, which some movies have a tendency to do. So I'm excited. I was already sold on this movie. I'll plan to be there hopefully opening night, and it's up on our website.
And the DC joke.
Oh yeah, it's there's a DC joke. There's a little shot at the Marvel Cinematic Universe too. So
oh yeah, the when he mentions Thanos. Yeah.
So I mean,
that was pretty funny.
I expect the movie to be pretty good. And speaking of another number two, we got the final Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer. And speaking of trailers, that's, you feel sometimes may have revealed the entire plot of the movie.
Yeah.
They gave away a lot.
There's a lot of people, it's interesting to hear people talk about the Fallen Kingdom due to them almost recycling the Lost World. You know, everybody's comparing this to the Lost World.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously, you know, they're rescuing the dinosaurs, which we, you know, for the longest time we knew was going to be like maybe the first quarter to third of the movie. And then, I mean, they basically reveal in the trailer that it's a double cross and that they're selling off the dinosaurs and that they've created another new dinosaur. And
the Indoraptor.
They're once again running amok In this case, it looks like they're running amok at some estate. And, you know, except for, like, obviously some of the dinosaurs, there were some shots of obviously some of the dinosaurs have escaped into the real world.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, this looks to up the suspense a lot more than Jurassic World was.
That's what I've heard a lot. I've heard that this one's going to be more, less of a an action movie, which Jurassic World was, and this one's going to go. This one's going to kind of fall back to the suspense genre.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's a smarter movie. I mean, anyone who's listened to us knows that I have a lot of problems with Jurassic World because it just there's so many parts of that movie that are just so stupid.
Yeah,
and it's not even like, oh, well, it's a movie. It's a popcorn film. Suspend your disbelief. It's like, no, it's like these characters are just dumb and what they're doing makes no sense. This, like I said, it seems to be to up the suspense more and definitely seems to up the amount of animatronics used in this movie compared to Jurassic World, which had like, I think one. It was like all CGI in that movie. And this seems to go back a little bit more to the original Jurassic Park movies where there was a little bit more mixture of animatronics and CGI.
Yeah. In Jurassic World, they had, you could tell there was a few scenes where the Indominus Rex was a animatronic.
Yeah.
But like you said, the majority of the film was CG'd. And I think they actually announced that. I don't know if it was like an official announcement, but they said
I think it was
the sequel to Jurassic World was going to have more animatronics.
Yeah, and I think it was in that behind the scenes trailer they showed that, you know, there was a lot more use of the animatronics, which would make more sense in you know creating suspense.
Yeah,
and especially if they're getting like really up close, it just isn't the same if you're doing it with CGI than you are if you're doing it with a practical effect. I mean,
the scene that they keep showing with the little girl in the bedroom with the Indoraptor in there, I think that's an animatronic.
And the thing they do now too is they'll use an animatronic to film. Because it has more, because it has more of a feel and a weight to it, but then they'll go in and add CGI to the animatronic to give it a little bit more life to it. So it's
to kind of animate it better and give it a better.
I mean, so it already looks better to me than Jurassic World. So we will see. I mean, there are some people though, like you said, who were a little turned off and feel like, you know, this movie may not do that well. But
yeah, there was a lot of smack talk going on Twitter and Facebook.
I don't know. This is Jurassic World. This is recycled. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Jurassic Park: The Lost World was a darker movie than the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
and you know that definitely. Yeah, you know, this is definitely going to be a little bit more intense for the kiddies this time than Jurassic World was. So we will see.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a much darker film than Jurassic World. So, you know, it's all these comparisons between, because I mean, there's so many Jurassic Park films now. You know, it's hard not to compare them and say they're just recycling the story. Park opens up. Everything goes crazy. Some kind of rescue mission back to the island to rescue. In Jurassic Park 3, it was going back to find the boy. And this one, it's going back to the island to rescue the dinosaurs. So
yeah, I mean, it almost feels like it would have been better if Jurassic World, if they had somehow the park had still managed to survive. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
it's always fun. I find it funny. It's like, oh, well, they ran it for 10 years and then boom, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the plot to all these. It's like, oh, the hubris of man of trying to bring back dinosaurs and nope. You think you can engineer, but you know, nature always finds a way. And It's like how many times can you keep running through that again? So,
like Jeff Goldblum says, the dinosaurs will be there. They could be there after us. So
yeah. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing it and crossing my fingers.
That hits theaters June 12th.
22nd.
June 22nd. Yes. Yeah, thank you. So
that is it pop culture-wise, except for one thing. And we are we are recording this 1 week before Avengers Infinity War hits the movie theaters. And this will post the Monday, a few days before the movie comes out. So before we go any further, if you don't want to hear us talking about the Avengers Infinity War and
spoilers,
we're going to spoil, because we're going to give our predictions and our ideas of what is going to go down in this movie. I would skip to the end or just stop listening to us right now.
Yeah, because we're not going to be talking about anything else. We save this for the end because we wanted people to be able to listen to all the stuff before this. But we really wanted to do a part of an episode, a big chunk of it, talking about what, you know, just kind of laying out what we think is going to go on in this film, because there's so much speculation. There's so many theories. So I'm going to kind of let you, Barry, go ahead and dive in, because I know you're a little more into this than I am with the Marvel Universe. So if you want to start off, and I'll kind of wean myself in here.
Well, outside of the Star Wars film, The Force Awakens and Last Jedi, I don't think they have ever kept the things as tight-lipped as they have with this movie. I mean, literally, like, even the actors in this movie.
I read that today.
Outside of, I believe, Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr.,
they gave him like fake scripts or something.
They only got parts of the script that they're in. They did not get the full script. I think it's Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr. and Hemsworth.
So pretty much the three main.
Yeah. So it's they've kept it. I mean, to the point that they're not having the premiere till Monday. Because they've been going around the world and they've only been showing they've been having these previews where they do, I think it was like 20 minutes from the movie, but they're doing the world premiere Monday. This is how tight-lipped they've wanted to keep this. And this is, I think, part of the reason they moved back, you know, the opening to have it open everywhere on April 27th is there's going to be a lot of stuff going down. You know, we've had 10 years to build up to this. You know, this has been the thing they've been building up to. And I mean, I'm not the only one who said this, but someone major is going to die probably in the first 15 minutes of this movie.
And who might that be?
And I think it's going to be Loki is going to die in the first 15 minutes of this movie.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, he failed in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And so he's got to pay the price for his failure. You know, pretty much Thanos in uncertain term. I mean, basically he was told if he failed, his life would be forfeit. So, I mean, we've seen the trailers. We know how Thor Ragnarok ended
because he stole the
Tesseract. The cube.
The cube from
which is the I believe is the Tesseract. I believe it's the Space Stone.
From Odin's vault.
Yeah, he took the Tesseract. And then you know it ends. Thor Ragnarok ends with Thanos' ship showing up.
By the way, you were correct. The Cosmic Cube contains the Space Stone.
which allows you to travel through, create a portal through space, which I think is how Hulk ends up. I'm going to assume that I'm thinking not all the Asgardians are going to die, because we know Hulk ends up on Earth. So I'm assuming that he uses the space stone to get some people off the ship as they're being attacked.
Yeah.
And that's how Hulk ends up. Even though she hasn't been seen in any of the trailers, it's been said that Valkyrie survives, and I would expect her to survive, because, you know, she was a very popular character in that movie. So I don't think she's going to die. And I don't think they would have all the that's it. Asgard was destroyed. I would hope they wouldn't have, now they escaped only to rest of them, all of them get killed. So I'm going to assume some of them escape, because we know Hulk is somehow gets sent to Earth.
And speaking of Hulk, I don't know if you saw this. I think you did. I think you mentioned it to me. We find out who's in the Hulkbuster costume via a Lego set. Did you see that?
Yeah.
For those of you expecting Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man to be in there, he's not. Apparently Bruce Banner's in there, because there's a Lego set out right now that is the, I think it's out. it's the Hulkbuster Lego set, and it comes with a Bruce Banner figure, and it pretty much confirmed that Bruce Banner is going to be inside the Hulkbuster costume, which is pretty funny and ironic at the same time.
Yeah, no, I expected that. I figured, I know there's a shot of like all of those creatures Thanos has in his army, like on top, basically attacking the Hulkbuster armor. I expect, that the Hulk's going to explode out of that. Cause there's been the whole talk of, he doesn't know if the next time, obviously he changes back, and I'm assuming, however, being sent through the portal with the space zone somehow ends up with him changing back in the Banner. Like you said, in Thor Ragnarok, he doesn't know if the next time he changes, he's not going to ever change back again.
It's going to be permanent. Yeah.
And of course he's going to want to help. And, so that makes sense. But like I said, I think Loki's going to die.
I was going to say, let's break it down. Let's get to the nitty gritty here. Who do you think is going to die? The big question that everybody that everybody's trying to guess.
I think Loki's going to die. I think, I'm wondering about Vision. I mean, obviously he has an Infinity Stone in it. That's how he comes to life. He almost has to die, unless he dies, but then they eventually find another way to bring him back, because he technically is an android. They obviously, they had hinted at in Civil War the sort of a romance between him and the Scarlet Witch, which obviously, based on the trailers has become bigger in the time since then, because it's been 2 years. It's in timeline wise, this takes place 2 years after Civil War. So, Iron Man's got his Avengers while Steve Rogers has his like undercover Avengers out there doing stuff. I think Vision has to die.
What are your thoughts on Mr. Steve Rogers?
I feel like one of them is not, either Captain America or Iron Man is not going to make it out of this movie alive.
Yeah.
As far as the other Avengers, I don't see Falcon going down. I don't see Bucky going down, because they're obviously the future.
Yeah.
I could see Rhodey, aka War Machine, but I don't, you know, he's got these, you know, he's obviously got these now basically, you know, the legs that, that Iron Man created for him. So I don't know if he, I can't imagine they kill him off.
Cause you're, do you think we'll see Nick Fury?
Yeah, so far, you know, these four are missing. Nick Fury, Hawkeye, Ant-Man, and the Wasp are nowhere to be found. My theory has been, had been until some, I read something else recently that Nick Fury and Hawkeye, maybe in a post-credit scene, are off to find wherever Captain Marvel has ended up, because her movie takes place in the 90s.
Yeah.
So obviously something happens to...
Did you read the theory about Hawkeye becoming Ronin?
I've read that theory. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's that theory that I have, but then I've read, someone brought it up, and then I've also looked online and thought about it. There's an idea that Captain Marvel may take place in another alternate timeline.
So not take place that in...
The next Avengers movie is going to introduce the idea of the multiverse.
That interesting.
And of course, all that ties into Doctor Strange. I mean, the multiverse is something that's been in the comics for a long time, that there's alternate timelines. You know, that's part of the whole thing with you know, a lot of what the MCU has been based on what was the Ultimates universe, where they created a separate timeline and sort of cleaned up a lot of the origin stories for a lot of the characters, and created this Ultimate universe, which they've taken a lot of the MCU stuff from. But, you know, there's always been the multiverse in the Marvel universe, with different timelines. Like there's different Spider-Mans, you know, there's different. So yeah. I'm interested to see if they're going to go in that direction, and all that would hinge on Doctor Strange trying to find some more heroes to help stop Thanos.
You don't think Doctor Strange is going to die?
No.
No?
No. I mean, we know there is a shot of him being captured, but I'm assuming he escapes.
Well, the good thing about him is he can go and, you know, different, you know, his whole...
That's the thing.
Out-of-body experiences and everything.
Well, that's the key, is he can track with his stone, which we know of as the Eye of Agamotto. I'm probably saying that wrong. With his stone, he can travel to different alternate universes, different timelines.
Yeah.
So I think that might be what we're talking about in the next Avengers film is him using the time stone. And that would explain why no one has ever heard of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And whatever happened in the 1990s. Is if it can, and also there was an on-set shot that shows the Battle of New York, and it showed like Captain America and Iron Man and also Ant-Man in that scene.
Yeah.
Which would obviously, that would take place in an alternate timeline. Because there's also, I think there's a TV spot that I saw online, and I think it was from an international trailer where Doctor Strange says he's looked at every like I like Tony asks him, do we have a chance? And he basically says, I've looked at every possibility. And then the answer was like, no, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's what's going to happen. That's how Captain Marvel ends up here. And that would explain why no one, I mean, I can't imagine an incident, whatever incident, whatever happens in her movie, there's just no way they could hide that, you know? So
now what about, let me ask you, If we had to knock off one of the Guardians, I mean, obviously Groot can't die because he just grow back, but Drax, Gamora, Star-Lord.
I don't see Gamora because Gamora is a very important part of the story. Because I think Gamora, you know, if Thanos has a weakness, it's his two daughters. Because, you know, they show that, and I'm not the only one who's come up with this idea. They show, you know, the scene in the trailer where he's holding little young Gamora's hand. So even though he may have treated him the way he treated them, that was training them for the world that they're supposed to be in. And to me, they may, especially her, may be his one weakness. So I don't see her. I don't see Gamora dying.
But Nebula, you could see getting.
I could see Nebula getting whacked. I could see Drax going down because both of them have,
Both of them really don't have any significant storyline going on or anything.
I mean, Drax has become a little bit more, at peace with what has happened. But, with Thanos actually, with him being within reach of Thanos, it might stoke the revenge again. And even though she's on the poster, we haven't really seen, I don't think we've seen any of Nebula in any of the trailers or TV spots.
No, not really. I mean, you haven't even seen Drax either, besides when he's standing there with Star-Lord and Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Stark.
I think Nebula's going to go. So it'll be interesting. What makes me wonder about who's going to die, whether it's Captain America or Iron Man, it's just, we've seen shots of Spider-Man getting the crap beat out of him. And so I sometimes wonder if like Tony sacrifices himself so Peter can get away.
I'm kind of leaning more towards Stark myself, because aside from what we've seen in the trailers and stuff, I mean, if you just look at the numbers, he's been in this franchise since the beginning. He is the beginning of the Marvel movie franchise.
Yeah.
So, just time-wise, I think it's Mr. Stark because I don't think it's quite yet time for Mr. Steve Rogers to go. But
if he dies, we know he's going to be in the next movie, and whether that's flashbacks or whether, like I said, like we've talked about, whether that's an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Maybe the alternate timeline, Iron Man comes to our universe to help. Because even if there is multiverses, technically, our MCU is like the prime universe.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets Iron Tony Stark from another universe to come over to stop Thanos. And that's it's hard to predict exactly who's going to die. I mean, but we know by the end of the next Avengers movie that both Cap, unless they're pulling the biggest fast one ever, that that both Captain America and Iron Man will be gone.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see. I mean, we got, you know, as far as the Infinity Stones, you know, it's
where's the Soul Stone?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I gotta imagine it's in Wakanda. It would make sense, but it may not be be there, because I mean,
I read this theory earlier that it was on I forgot what website it was, but they were trying to figure out where the Soul Stone was, and, you know, just trying to come up with all these crazy ideas. And they said another location it could be is on Titan. I'm trying to find the article here. It was on my phone. Dang it. Now when I need to find it, I can't find it. But there was one theory that it was on Titan. A lot of people, like you said, are claiming it's on Wakanda, because we see a lot of the trailer, a lot of the fighting and the big fight scenes take place in Wakanda. So,
yeah, I mean, in part of that, it might be like a misdirect, because, you know, they're also protecting Vision.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing with Vision is he gets attacked and they try to get the Mind Stone, but they fail, and then they take him to Wakanda, and that may be why they attacked Wakanda. I'm going to be interested in how they handle the two stones that are off planet, because I mean, the Power Stone is on Nova Prime, which was the one in Guardians of the Galaxy, and then you know, the Reality Stone, aka the Ether, is in the hands of the Collector.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering,
he's another one that could probably die.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they toss that one off really quick. I feel like they're going to withhold the Power Stone. That's going to be part of the next Avengers movie, because it would make sense for them to do some of that next movie in space, you know, and
yeah.
So
I found the article. It was on Gizmodo, because in one of the in the trailers, they see when Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Doctor Strange are on Titan, which is obviously Thanos's home planet.
Yeah.
And they said they were basically questioning why the Guardians are there. You know, it's the whole scene where Star-Lord tells Stark that his plan sucks.
Yeah.
That's on that planet. So
yeah.
That was another theory that the Soul Stone is there on the moon Titan. So anyways.
And that he just didn't know about it.
Yeah. So anyways, so many theories, so much to anticipate. We're down to days, just mere days here. I still watch the final trailer. I don't know if you still watch it.
Oh yeah. I've been bad. I've been every new TV spot that's come out, I've watched.
Yeah, there's so many TV spots they've come out with, behind the scenes featurettes that have come out just within the last few weeks. Disney, yeah, and Marvel have been really cranking them out.
Yeah, there was the legacy one that was really good.
Yeah, that one was cool.
And I need to stop, because I need to, like, you know,
go in somewhat spoiler free, yeah, not spoiler free, but
and stop looking at that speculation and articles, because it's funny, because I guess it's different because we've been building to this, whereas like The Last Jedi, we had no clue what we were getting when we walked into that movie. I mean,
yeah,
it's this is a little bit more, because you've got more to go on, because you've got two different Infinity stories. There's, I believe it's from the comics, there's the original Infinity Gauntlet story, And then there's the basically, I think it's called just called Infinity.
Yeah.
So you've got like all these different stories where they pulled from. So it's easy to get, you know, get sucked down the hole of speculation for this movie. I'm excited. I mean, we've talked about it before. I have my tickets for 7 o'clock IMAX Point Orlando, because this is the first major motion picture that the entire film was shot in IMAX.
Yeah.
So I am definitely looking forward to seeing it on that giant IMAX screen.
You know, yeah, they're really pushing the IMAX thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely become like a Dolby Cinema person, especially ever since they opened that one at Disney Springs. But, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, it's shot in IMAX. You should try to see it in an IMAX screen and try to see it in the real IMAX screen, not just the ones that are at AMC. So,
yeah, they announced today, I got the article up, that they're expanding, you know, the Dolby Cinema experience at AMC. They're good to go for a few more years, pretty much every Disney film coming out. So, but they were really, Disney and Marvel, they were really pushing the IMAX thing, because this film was filmed for IMAX. So if you're going to see it next week, make sure you see it in IMAX.
Yeah. I mean, I say that, and I'll probably see it at the Dolby Cinema too. So,
yeah, I still want to get out there. I haven't gotten out there.
It's like, as much as I do like the IMAX, the sound at the Dolby Cinema is way better.
Oh, it's Dolby.
Yeah. So, and I think visually, it's compared to the digital IMAX that's at like AMC and Universal, I think the Dolby Cinema is better.
Yeah.
But, I'm excited. I mean, I can't believe we're this close to finally getting to this. I'm excited about movies this summer period. I mean, we got this, then we got Deadpool 2, and then we got, I know not everybody is on the Solo, a Star Wars story hype train, but after that last trailer, I'm definitely on that hype train.
Yeah, no, that last trailer was definitely one that got me.
We didn't talk about it. Incredibles 2 had a trailer, so it's like,
I know
it's,
but this was important in our Avengers speculation, because we had talked about this in previous episodes, so we could still talk about that on another episode.
I think
that's it.
Yeah, I think we've sort of discussed what we'll be interested to see next time we record. What
it's going to be interesting these next few weeks, because we actually have a really cool guest booked for our recording on May 1st.
Yeah, so we'll tease once we get a little closer to May 1st.
We'll have to figure things out here when we'll record and talk about Infinity War. But we are recording with this guest on May 1st. I got it booked. So I think I'm going to announce it tomorrow. Well, this will be posted Monday, so people already know. But anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I'm excited to keep having more guests on, and makes it easier so I don't, as you can already hear, I'm losing my voice. And
I was when I was talking about Fast and Furious, which I didn't think I was going to be able to do. But I did, like you said, I talked about it for 20 minutes.
But I think that wraps it up, except for I did finally have a Voodoo Donut last week, and it was pretty good. So there is your Thrill Geek Voodoo Donut podcast talk. So because we'll somehow end up talking about Voodoo Donut like the last 4 or 5 podcasts.
Yeah. And we still haven't been there to fully experience it and really get in and check it out. Yeah, so we've got an idea
about that, that we will hopefully be bringing to one of our live streaming channels at some point soon. So,
yeah, we got all sorts of stuff in the works, stuff I could sit here and ramble on about, but I'm not going to, because we are out of time. Right. We're going to wrap it up here.
So social media at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please follow and like our Facebook page, youtube.com/thrillgeek. Check out our YouTube channel, where you can watch a video of the queue of Fast and Furious Supercharged.
Yeah, and also be sure to review our podcast on iTunes. Type in a few words. Leave us a 5-star. Hopefully it's 5-star for you if you're listening. That really helps us out on iTunes. Really appreciate it. So, and
we have created an account on Twitch. We haven't started posting anything there yet, but it's coming soon. But it's on there.
Yeah, like I said, we got some interesting things in the works here. It's just, you know, I bought on a few volunteer writers, as you guys saw. So that's one thing going on. I'm really trying to
just refer them as the interns.
Yeah. So Brian did his first Halloween Horror Nights rumor article with a Halloween house. So go to thrillgeek.com, check that out. So yeah, all sorts of cool stuff planned, happening, going on. So anyways, thanks you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys again here next time.
See you in the parks.